This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brianna Willis.
And I'm Rachel Winder, and this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour, we have our weekly segment with Idaho legislators talking about this week in politics, including what's happening with Medicaid expansion.
Plus, up in Victor, Idaho, several businesses have started a collaborative effort to create net zero housing, houses that are fully functional with complete energy efficiency.
Amazing to me, without being fanatical about it, but just trying to be conscientious about how to do things better if we just pay attention to what we're doing.
And we talked with Voces 8, a British octet formed from former Westminster Abbey choristers. They performed earlier in the week and talked to us about their rise to fame.
These stories and more are coming up on Tell Me About It. This is Tell Me About It, and I'm Rachel Winder.
And I'm Brianna Willis. We can expect a snowy weekend throughout our listening area. The snow should stop before 11 p.m. and could continue through the weekend to President's Day. Highs are in the 20s this weekend, with lows tonight in the single digits in Jackson and teens elsewhere.
Right now, it's 32 in Rexburg, 30 in Idaho Falls, 30 in Pocatello, and 32 in Jackson.
The Museum of Idaho's Museum Club Discussion Series is every first and third Thursday of the month at 3 p.m. through May 16th. Discussions include Pioneer Women, Election Rules, Hemingway and Sun Valley, Lewis and Clark, The Essence of Yellowstone, Guides for Leaders in a Troubled Democratic Republic, and Science at Your Bedside. For more information about the Museum Club or the discussions, go to museumofidaho.org.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, if you want to get something special for your significant other, stop by the BYU Idaho Greenhouse today.
And we talked to Idaho lawmakers about this week in the state legislature, including Medicaid expansion and hemp laws. This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
Journey with heroes from your favorite movies like Luke Skywalker, Jake Sully, Poe the Panda, Spartacus, and Jean Valjean.
Him home.
Join us on The Perfect Score Friday and Saturday nights at 7 on BYU Idaho Radio, 94.3 FM. Home.
Some local builders are working together to create a small community of net zero energy efficient housing. Student reporter Jessica Morgenthaler has the story.
It's not just the Save the Planet fanatics who are working toward a healthy, green lifestyle.
Amazing to me, without being fanatical about it, but just trying to be conscientious about how to do things better if we just pay attention to what we're doing.
This is Brady Barkbull, the owner of Idaho Construction and the construction manager for a net zero energy efficient housing project. He showed Rachel Weiner and me how implementing some energy efficient ideas can be good for our environment and our health, without breaking the bank.
You know, with Lindsay, with Fox Creek Heating, with kind of all the team members involved, have just collaborated on, you know, how can we make these buildings to be better, be more efficient, be more sustainable, and still try to, you know, do that on a budget, which is the hard part.
Tucked away in Victor, Idaho, a group of construction and design companies are collaborating on the Cloverfield Cottage Court project. Every detail of these homes, down to the type of paint on the walls, are carefully planned out to make the houses have a net zero energy efficient rating. This means they have the ability to offset their energy usage once solar panels are installed. But it's not just the energy usage that makes this house impressive.
Like everything, like what this couch is made of, what's on the walls and the paint.
Oh yeah, I didn't
chemicals
think of that.
That are in the cabinetry and the stain and in the glues. That all stays in your house. Huh. So you're breathing it.
This is one of the designers for the project, Lindsay Love of Love Shack, describing more about the air quality within the homes.
And it's often the case that the quality of air inside your house is worse than what's outside.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that that's not the case
mm-hmm.
in these homes. And we've incorporated a good mechanical ventilation system that is also, it's bringing fresh air in and preheating that air.
Oh,
with
wow.
the warm air that's
yeah.
already in the home and before it blows it into the home. So it's bringing in fresh air, but also making sure that it's not taking a ton of energy to do it.
Another impressive aspect about the homes that I found interesting was how quiet it was. As the crew took Rachel and me on a tour of one of the finished homes, Jeff Duschendorf of Fox Creek Heating showed us the generator.
This outdoor unit is running.
Oh my gosh. So the window's open.
Oh, wow.
Do you hear that? You can't. You can't hear that.
Jeff was also anxious to show us the smart features of the heating and cooling unit. All of the controls were set up on a tablet with connection capabilities to a smartphone. These home features were carefully picked out to give homeowners the ultimate energy efficient and comfort living experience.
I think, you know, what we're hoping is that we want to support those certifications and support those entities that are out there so that, number one, collectively, you know, we're just small companies in small town sort of a thing, but, you know, those organizations have power to educate, you know, the masses and to, you know, really bring more, shed more light on this type of construction and on their certifications, and the, you know, the more people that we can educate, the more people look at this and go, wow, not only is it, you know, this cool and it's more comfortable and it's better that way, but you know what, maybe this actually makes some financial sense.
The crew hopes this design and model will create a trend to create better homes and to help us think twice about what we put into them. They created it specifically so it can be easily replicated, with hopes to expand the project.
I've never thought of this project as being super green, super sustainable. I just thought of it as doing the right thing and building an efficient house. I've never looked at it that we're building this green or sustainable. It's just at the end of the day, we're building a house and providing an energy-efficient house that will save people money in the long run and be a more comfortable house.
Yeah.
And if we accomplish all that other stuff too, then it was a win-win.
Right. You know, absolutely.
And because I don't consider myself, you know, super in that area, but at the end of the day, I know what it costs to run a house.
Right.
And if you can save money in the long term and still have a super-efficient product, and we meet all that other standards, then it's a super bonus.
If this sounds like something you want to get into, you're in luck. These houses are set to go on sale within the year. This project is also featured on a show, Design Spaces. We've posted the episode about the Cloverleaf Cottage Court project on our website at byuidaho.org. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
If you're looking for flowers for your significant other, you don't have to go further. Student reporter J.D. Packer has the story.
Looking for the perfect gift for your Valentine? The BYU Idaho Greenhouse has you covered. The Greenhouse is having its Valentine's sale in the Manwaring Center this whole week until Friday. You can find them selling flowers and different plants from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Lauren Croft is a manager at the Greenhouse. She told me what types of flowers and plants they have available.
So right now we're selling a lot of flowering potted plants, especially for Valentine's Day, because they're really perfect gifts. We've got mini roses and calla lilies, hydrangeas, Gerber daisies, just a whole bunch of beautiful color. And then we also sell our foliage plants, which are all really great to have as houseplants.
Students help run the Greenhouse for different classes with the assistance of different teachers and instructors. Carly Simkins is also a manager at the Greenhouse, and she gave me some insights about the deals.
Yeah, so we range from anywhere from $2.50 till $20 is kind of our bigger plants, like calla lilies or hydrangeas, but it ranges all over the place. We have some really great 4 inches that are $4.99, and it's just a great package for them to be able to give to someone special.
The Greenhouse has other events coming up, like do-it-yourself herb night and a succulent plant night. These events have you pay at the door, where you get a pot and can pick whatever herbs or succulents you want.
So it's going to be about $15 just at the door. It's a lot of fun. You get to come in and pick your own pot, and you get to pick what succulents you want to put into it, and you get to put it together all yourself. It's a lot of fun just being able to come with your friends, your roommates, your husband and spouse, and just a lot of fun.
If you're interested in going, you can find details online at BYU Idaho's events calendar page or find our link on our website. Just go to BYUIdahoRadio.org. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm J.D. Packer.
The Sporey Art Gallery at BYU Idaho has a new exhibit that opened this week. It's called Habitat and Refuge. It features the photography of Darren Clark, an art faculty member at BYU Idaho. His photographs capture birds in their natural habitat with sweeping landscapes.
He told BYU Idaho Radio he first got started with his love of bird watching while taking a class at Ricks College that opened his eyes to the species of birds in Idaho.
Robins, starlings, ducks, that's what I thought we had. I thought all the good birds were other places, like maybe Florida or Africa or something. But as I started to look around, there are literally hundreds of species in Idaho. I myself have identified 380 plus species in Idaho. You can birdwatch anywhere you live, and it's something you can do any time of the year, any place you live. And I think that's what makes it kind of appealing to a lot of people.
There's more to the title of the exhibit than merely habitats and refuge for birds. He explains what else it means.
These places are a habitat for bird watchers, or places that bird watchers go. And personally, a refuge, I think, for myself, I go to these places to look at the birds and to kind of renew myself. And so these places are also kind of a place of refuge for myself and for others. So,
an important part of the photography is capturing the scenes of the birds in the right light. Clark took a lot of pictures at sunrise and sunset. He told us how he finds the perfect shot.
A lot of these places are places I had never been before, so I would arrive and spend the ugly part of the day kind of scouting out locations and bird watching and photographing birds, and then kind of planning my time, which direction is the sun going to be at sunrise or sunset, and then planning to come back at those times. So even though there were a lot of times I wasn't photographing when I'd visit these places, I did spend a lot of time scouting and figuring out the places so that I could take advantage of good light.
When you go to the exhibit, you'll find a wall of birds. Clark says the pictures are from Idaho and all through the United States. Some of the pictures are from right here on the campus of BYU Idaho. The landscapes are places where bird watchers go often. He told us what he hopes people will feel when they go to the exhibit.
I think just realizing that anything you're passionate about is worth paying attention to, whether it's golf or fly fishing or fixing cars or whatever it is, but that there are stories to be told. And so the story I'm telling is one of many stories that could be told about bird watching. But it's also just realizing that places are beautiful, places are interesting, and if you will slow down and look at them, whether you're a photographer or not, but if you'll still slow down and look at them, you'll realize the value of a place.
The free exhibit is open through March 21st. You can listen to our full interview with Clark on our website, BYUIdahoRadio.org, or subscribe to our podcast. Just search for BYU Idaho Radio.
We can expect a snowy weekend throughout our listening area. The snow should stop before 11 p.m. and could continue through the weekend to President's Day. Highs are in the 20s this weekend, with lows tonight in the single digits in Jackson and teens elsewhere.
If you're traveling this weekend, Boise will also see snow. Highs are in the 40s. Salt Lake City will have a chance of snow Saturday, with heavy snow on Sunday night. Highs are in the 40s.
Right now, it's 31 in Rexburg, 29 in Idaho Falls, 31 in Pocatello, and 31 in Jackson.
The Teton Backcountry Alliance invites you to an evening aimed at addressing important issues facing the future use of Teton Pass. Local experts will speak, there will be a silent auction, and more. The doors open at 5:30 in the Wildwood Room in Victor on Wednesday, February 20th. For more information, go to Facebook to the Teton Backcountry Alliance page.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, we talk to Bosses 8 about their rise to fame.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
College life is crazy. The classes, the crushes, the Rexburg bubble. When it all drives you nuts, we've got you covered. Listen to the people crazy enough to talk about what's on your mind. Catch The Spot, a BYU Idaho radio podcast with new episodes every Thursday. Find us at BYUIdahoRadio.org.
Journey with heroes from your favorite movies like Luke Skywalker, Jake Sully, Poe the Panda, Spartacus, and Jean Valjean.
Him home.
Join us on The Perfect Score Friday and Saturday nights at 7 on BYU Idaho Radio, 94.3 FM. Home.
A British octet, Voss's 8, performed here at BYU Idaho on Tuesday. Andrew Gordon tells us about it.
We talked to Idaho legislators about Medicaid expansion this week, as well as about hemp laws. Virginia Henry has a story.
For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry, and this is Tell Me About It. I got to interview Idaho Republican Senator Dave Lent from Idaho Falls and Democratic Representative Chris Abernathy from Pocatello yesterday on what's been happening this week in the Idaho legislature. First, they both talked about the education formula.
So with the emergent in those 30 years of so much change in technology in our culture, our educational system has had even a greater need to evolve itself to keep pace. So we're hoping that this particular change is kind of the beginning that will allow the whole system to start to evolve. We really do need to evolve our educational system, and every day that we don't, our students fall further behind. So that's a big issue for me.
As far as education, we are still working on the funding formula and trying to get that zeroed in, you know, to finding where we're going to start moving some numbers around. So we've had some good meetings with some superintendents around the surrounding area to kind of get some of their feedback, and I thought that went over very well.
Next, I asked about the hemp bill that is currently being developed.
You know, it's really a matter of, can it be controlled as an agricultural product, and is it financially viable in that sense? And if it is, then I think that makes sense as a crop. But as long as we can stay away from any kind of drug-related use, that would be my issue. If there's some derivative or something that could lead us down a drug perspective, then I'd have to, you know, say no. But if it's purely a cash crop and it's a matter of educating all of us as to how it would be and how it would work and how it would not be an issue with drugs, then I think I could support it. But we have to do some more studying. I just barely got into it yesterday and started learning, and I did get some feedback from my local folks there in Idaho Falls just this morning concerning it. So it is coming up fast.
So right now it is, I think it's in RS stage right now, just getting worked on, and they think that that would be going to be good for the farmers. There's going to be a lot of revenue, I think, for the farmers to be made on that, you know, because there is a lot of kind of products that hemp is getting put into now, you know, as far as like your plastics, fiberglasses, and all sorts of actually foods and you know, lotions and stuff like that. It's actually just to legalize it, to grow it for farmers, you know, and it's had a study done on it where there is going to be no THC in it, no oils or nothing. Nothing can be coming out of it. It's just actually a product that could be farmed and then could be put into products. And it is legal almost all through the United States, I believe, except for 3 states. But and we're one of them. But, yeah, there is a lot of revenue that the state is missing out on that.
And, of course, both of them are concerned about the Medicaid expansion.
The Medicaid gap legislation that's coming through, you know, the voters with 61% passed that. And the legislator is just really, they're really going through trying to figure out, how do you make that work? It's one thing to have a great idea and say we want it, but then you have to go back on the other side and say, well, how are we going to pay for it, and how's that going to work? So I think just this week we're starting to see some bills emerging. They talk in terms of sideboards, which essentially, of course, are, you know, restrictions that may be applied to people who participate. But for me particularly, I ran basically saying that I would support the will of the voters. So I'm hoping that we can minimize any additional sideboards, but I do think there will be some.
Yeah, you know, we're still working on the Medicaid expansion, and I'm really hoping that that's going to be, you know, implemented and not messed with, you know. No sideboards and and just get installed, and we'll see where we can go with it. You know, I think it'll be a full year before it will be even, you know, being able to be, you know, access it. And then, you know, another full year after that just to kind of see where it's going to go and analyze the data.
Again, that was Republican Senator Dave Lent from Idaho Falls and Democratic Representative Chris Abernathy from Pocatello, updating us on what's been going on this week out at the Capitol in Boise. Tune in next Friday for Tell Me About It at 4 p.m. to catch another update on Idaho's legislative session. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Virginia Henry.
Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It. You can catch episodes every Friday at 4 on KBYI 94.3 FM.
Our theme music comes from BYU Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nelson. Find this show on our and our other podcast in the social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio 94.3 FM.